the title of my talk tonight is The Joy of Just Being. And I'll get to the joy. This is page one. Page two, the joy is down here. I knew that I had turned a corner with a student one day when he was asking the same question over and over, and it had to do with his feeling of place in the world. What I was suggesting just didn't go along with his idea of what he should do. So I looked at him and I said, well, just who do you think you are? And he started to get offended and caught his breath and then started to laugh. Because we all think we are someone. And we want that someone to be pretty special. And when someone asks, who do you think you are? It's like pulling the rug out from under us. At such moments, whether we've been asked that question or something else has made us feel insecure about who we are, it's very helpful to remember that our idea of ourself is not equal to who we are. For example, the artist Magritte has a very famous picture of a pipe, which is entitled, This is Not a Pipe. It's a picture of a pipe. And our idea of who we are is an idea. It's a very powerful idea. It operates to enable us to function with other members of our species. And this is a species that totally depends on cooperation among its members. So everybody has an investment in our having a functional idea of ourselves. But when we forget that it's just an idea, which is 99.999% of the time, that idea is the wellspring of about the same percentage of our suffering. When we believe that idea is the real McCoy, the pipe. Because pride or comparison, conceit, if you will, and ego will soon follow the moment when we take ourselves seriously. We take our idea of self seriously. We grow very protective of that idea. We build it up just the way we will build up a friend's pride because we know that makes them feel good. Just the way candy makes a child happy. It's not ultimately good for them, but there's an immediate pleasure in it. But even though we spend so much energy constructing this idea of who we are and bolstering it so that we like it, in a way we know that it isn't real. We have our doubts about this elevated idea of who we are. And those doubts are really excruciating when we take that idea of self as the real thing. There's a Nobel Prize-winning poet who wrote early in the 20th century called Tagore. One of the poems in his prize-winning collection goes, He whom I enclose with my name is weeping in this dungeon. I am ever busy building this wall all around. And as this wall goes up into the sky, day by day, I lose sight of my true being in its dark shadow. I take pride in this great wall, and I plaster it with dust and sand, lest a least hole should be left in this name. And for all the care I take, I lose sight of my true being. Totally nails it. We lose sight of our true being when we believe that that idea of self is who we are. And because we think it's the equivalent and it's very dear to us, what we are, the judgment that's always being made of it causes terrible suffering. Now, never forget, well, I never forget because I did my PhD work in cultural anthropology, and I looked a lot at the basis of our psychology and our culture, which is that we're animals, basically. It's important for an animal to know what's good and what's not, the right things to eat, the poisonous things. But this whole judgment that we bring to the idea of self is irrelevant to our true nature. It has no place. This constant judging is a torment to us, whether we judge ourselves high or low. If we have an elevated idea of ourselves, then it's extremely fragile, and it's almost inevitable that something's going to pop it and it's going to crash. If we have a low opinion of ourselves, we call that depression, lack of self-respect, a suffering in and of itself. Both the high and the low are conceit in action. The word for conceit in Pali also is used as compare. So when we talk about this conceit, which is one of the final fetters holding us back from enlightenment, we're talking about this comparison, this judgment, good or bad. Now, this next quote I'm going to read and then see who can guess who wrote it. A human being is part of the whole, called by universe. A part limited in time and space. We experience ourselves, our thoughts and feelings, as something separated from the rest, a kind of optical delusion of our consciousness. This delusion is a kind of prison for us, restricting us to our personal desires and to affection for a few persons nearest to us. Our task must be to free ourselves from this prison by widening our circle of compassion to embrace all living creatures and the whole of nature in its beauty.
Albert Einstein.
Bingo. Isn't that reassuring in a way? The smartest man. It's come along in a long time. So the key to freeing ourselves is love. a love that does not stop at the close few of our acquaintances, a love that goes to the end of the universe and encompasses all beings. Because our consciousness encompasses all beings, our awareness freely lets it all in. And that is our true nature. And what we freely accept, we love. It is a joy for us to truly know our experience without all that judgment and distortion that comes from clinging to our idea of self. If we don't care about what it means to the idea we have of ourselves, we are free to experience it. Let it in, let it out. This universal love is called metta, loving kindness. I like to think of it as a respectful tenderness, a concern for well-being of all that is. So when we see the suffering that's caused to us by our idea of self, our first response should be kind tenderness to our suffering. We shouldn't scold ourselves for having this idea of self, but recognize that this is a burden that we carry and that it's one that causes us suffering, and have compassion for ourselves. To the extent that we believe it, it really is suffering. If we believe we are our idea of self, that's our suffering. And we really need to bring compassion to ourselves, whoever we think we are. Because that suffering is a universal human suffering. And if nothing else can connect us to those strangers who we may or may not like, this should do it. To know that they're being total pains in the neck because they're carrying this around. That's what we humans do. Buddha said, the thought manifests as the word. The word manifests as the deed. The deed develops into habit. The habit hardens into character. So watch the thought and its ways with care, and let it spring from love, born out of concern for all beings. So in other words, we take ourselves seriously, and that's what we get. And the cure is, as we see these thoughts arise in our meditation, notice how they make us feel physically, that suffering, bring compassion to it, recognize where it comes from, love ourselves and all beings. So metta practice, where we say over and over phrases, may all beings be happy. May all beings be free from suffering. May all beings feel peaceful and love and accept themselves just as they are. Phrases along those lines. We're training ourselves, we're training our mind to have loving thoughts, to aim our thinking in accordance with the love and compassion that can set us free from suffering. And it must start with love and compassion for ourselves, because that, after all, is the wellspring of all suffering. The torment of conceit also invades our practice. We can have ego in the desire for nirvana. And I've seen this over the years in a lot of students who are astute enough to notice it and are able to overcome the pride enough to talk to a teacher about it. It's a really annoying thing to carry around. The trick is, again, to watch it compassionately. Be aware of it and just bring compassion to it. Understanding that seeking nirvana in order to have others think highly of us is kind of counterproductive. Then there is the conceit of feeling that we're not worthy of nirvana, which is just totally self-defeating, reverse pride. And the way to deal with that is to let it go and love ourselves. There are times we've all had, and I hope that when we get to the discussion, you'll remember them and share them, moments when we can't act without pride, without a comparing mind, no self-centered desire or fear, when we feel really free. And this is sort of the golden glow that a community can feel after a disaster, when people just act. And then they're delighted to see that as individuals and as a community, they responded selflessly. And we treasure the memory of what we did and how we felt. There are also activities that we do, besides responding to disasters, when we are totally present in what we're doing and we have no sense of self. Sports, I think maybe this is one of the reasons why they're so popular, although there's all that competitive stuff, which gets weird. But I think of whitewater rafting, when, boy, I'll tell you, I was there moment by moment, and it was exhilarating. And another common experience among this group is when we're meditating. And the deep pleasure that we get when the mind is clear and calm. Or also the bliss of concentration. So here I am, down, I'm at the bottom of page 2 now. The bliss, the joy of just being, is not something abstract. It's something that we've all experienced. We can experience it on a daily basis if we have a daily meditation practice. Because really, if we can follow the breathing, inhale, exhale, pause, inhale, exhale, pause, all the way through 2 times, there'll be this feeling of pleasure, of lightness, that comes from that clear mind. So, yes, we have selves. We need to have selves in order to function. They're good things. Just don't believe in them. And recognize that you really are marvelous. What we are is, well, it's incredible. That's probably why we don't think about it very much, what we truly are. But here are words from Martha Graham that I have always felt inspired by. There is a vitality, a life force, an energy, a quickening that is translated into action. And because there is only one of you in all time, this expression is unique. And if you block it, it will never exist through any other medium and will be lost. The world will not have it. It is not your business to determine how good it is, or how valuable, nor how it compares to other expressions. It is your business to keep it yours, clearly and directly, to keep the channel open. You do not even have to believe in yourself or your work. You have to keep open and aware directly to the urges that motivate you. Keep the channels open. Thank you.